Hey everybody, this is Kelly Hansen from Foreigner, and you are checking out Life Minute TV.
With 10 multi-platinum albums, 16 top 30 hits, more than 80 million albums sold to date, legendary group Foreigner has been rocking the music scene for 40 plus years with no signs of slowing down. Their timeless anthems, Waiting for a Girl Like You, Hot Blooded, Feels Like the First Time, and the worldwide number one, I Wanna Know What Love Is, still top the charts with massive airplay and video and audio streams at more than 15 million a week. We caught up with lead singer Kelly Hansen recently to hear all about their current U.S. tour, their plans for a world tour, and much more. This is a Life Minute with Foreigner's Kelly Hansen.
Hello.
Hi, Kelly.
How are you?
Good. How are you?
Very well. Thank you. Thank you.
So how are you doing? What's going on with Foreigner? Tell us everything.
Well, we're in the middle of a little break right now, and we've done some warm-up shows. We've done some, you know, I call them warm-ups just because they were just a few shows at a time, just to kind of get the wheels greased and get everything going back again and get things moving. So we are fully loaded, fully ready, fully rehearsed. And this next leg that we're going to do, starting on like the 26th or 27th, is going to be the first full 6-week leg that we've done in more than a year and 4 months or something like that. So
tell us all about it. Where are you going and where will it culminate?
Well, we're going to be all in the United States, but this next leg, we're going to be going through, I'm looking at my schedule here, Arizona, New Mexico, Texas, Kansas, Arkansas, Wisconsin, Iowa, Michigan, Illinois, Ohio, Tennessee, Virginia, Delaware, New York, Connecticut, Massachusetts. It's like everywhere. We were kind of scheduled to go to Europe last year and the pandemic hit, and now the requirements are constantly changing in the countries over in Europe, and it's just not feasible, because if they change rules in the middle of us doing a tour and say that now once we land in your country, we have to sit in a hotel for 10 days, well, that's not going to work. So we have to wait till next year.
What can fans expect to see a Foreigner show when they go to see a Foreigner show?
Well, what I am enjoying is I want to be one of the first bands that everyone goes back out to see, because there is a certain kind of refreshing relief that everyone's feeling at these new shows. And if too many bands are out there in front of us, then that freshness and newness goes away. And I'm kind of enjoying that. I can see it on people's faces. I can see the convivial feeling and everyone kind of just finally having a good time at a rock show. And you can tell that people have been wanting it and are so happy to have it. So that's the first thing. We're a very interactive band. We love to interact with the audience. That's really what we feed off of. And they're going to hear all the songs they know, and they're going to hear songs from us that they didn't know that we do. And they go, oh, that's a hit. And I didn't know Foreigner did that. I hear that all the time. So that's a constant thing that we constantly fight, is that people know Foreigner, but they don't know all the songs that this band is well known for. So going to the show helps remedy that.
What is it like being in one of the biggest bands in the whole world? What does it feel like being the front man?
Well, first and foremost for me, as a person who sings as a rock tenor, how fortunate am I to be able to sing this catalog of songs, this quality of catalog? It may be hard for someone who's not a musician or singer for a living to understand, but to be able to sing such high quality and challenging songs in a single catalog is something that you could only dream about and you couldn't buy. And so I really understand how fortunate I am to be able to do what I'm doing and be where I am. And I think that I've been doing this a long time, and I really feel that I'm inside these songs. I understand what they're about. And Mick Jones and I have spent countless hours discussing, you know, the songs and how we present them and what things mean and what the Foreigner sound is. And we all are very, very aware of that. So, I think it comes across.
Foreigner is just one of those bands that just keep going with the generations, just new generations year after year.
Yeah.
After year. Why do you think that is?
I think it's the quality of the songs that I think is really important, first of all. But I think what's helped that over the years is many of these songs have become part of the ethos, the atmosphere of people's lives, people's catchphrases. And I think that placement in TV commercials and movies and soundtracks and that has a huge effect as well. Because I know that when we're in when we're in a TV show like Glee, that the younger audience is going to go, oh, who's that band? And they're going to go look it up, and then they're going to find the catalog, and they're going to listen. And I know that they're coming to the shows, and I know that they know the music because they're mouthing the words. They're not just they weren't just dragged there by their parents. I can tell that they know the song. So I see it, and I can only attribute it to those kind of factors.
And tell us about your journey and how you came together with Foreigner.
I was in a band in the 80s called Hurricane, and you know, we had three records out, and we toured the country and Japan and all that kind of stuff, and kind of made my somewhat name there, and so I had a history, and I was able to tour legitimately, and that was a huge factor in joining this band. And so in about 2005, I was really unhappy with where I was. I had been producing and engineering and songwriting and developing artists, and it was more and more effort for less and less return with the advent of the internet and also technology, and it made it harder for a person who's producing and so on to make a living on a project. And I had stopped really kind of doing a lot of lead singing when the 90s rolled in, and grunge was big, and my kind of clean tenor voice was not really in favor. So I knew I had to take a break and kind of step back and do other things. I developed myself in other areas and said, I just have to sit it out for a little while. And then in 2005, I said, you know what? I need to go back to what I really do best. And that's being a lead singer. And just coincidentally, by circumstance, what's the word I'm thinking of? Come on, what's the word I'm thinking of? Serendipity. Mick was looking for a voice for the band. The band had been dormant since about 2002, and through a lot of encouragement from his friends and other musicians, they said, Mick, you know, you have to get this band out there and doing it. So he had been looking for a voice for the band, and I didn't know that, but when I made my decision, I went on the internet and said, I'm going to find what's going on out there and I'm going to make something happen. And the first thing I saw was Mick doing a charity event in Santa Barbara, California, with some of the guys from the band. It was called Mick Jones and Friends. And I didn't know if that was a reorganization of Foreigner or whether it was a new Mick Jones solo project. But I've been around for a while, and I live in LA, so I know some people. So I made some calls, and they were coming into town to do some rehearsals. And I said, well, can I come down and jam with them? And I made sure I was the first person to come in. I didn't know what else their schedule was for when they were here. But I thought, if they're coming to town, they might be listening to singers. And if I get in there first, that's a good lesson to learn for anyone who wants to know. They stop looking after they find what they want. So don't be the last person in. So we jammed for about an hour and a half. And I remember distinctly, I drove home from that rehearsal, I was very nervous, and I was trying to remember lyrics. And I got home at 6 p.m. and they called me at 7 p.m. And unbeknownst to me, in that hour, they had been talking with mutual friends and having discussion about, you know, whether I'm a good guy or whether I'm some kind of, you know, maniac. They called me back at 7 and said, we're booking shows for this weekend. Can you start rehearsing tomorrow? Wow. And so that's how it happened. And it hasn't stopped since for 15 years. And then it was just this COVID thing that forced us to kind of put the brakes on. And that kind of wild because, I haven't been at home for 15 years.
How do you guys get along when you're on the road?
One of the great things about this group is, and I've been in bands since the late 70s to now. And there are a lot of people that you might not want to work with, or that you work with because they have a name or reputation or some success, but you don't really necessarily like them, or they're not a good person. And we are so fortunate because all of us have been around the block, and I think we all understand how lucky we all are, how fortunate we are to do what we're doing. And everybody is so nice to be around. We enjoy each other's company. In fact, we're all going to get together tomorrow even though we're not on the road, we're going to have dinner. And so that is one of the real true great things about this group, is that we get along so well. We have the same type of humor. We have so many inside jokes you can't even believe, and it goes on and on. So we're very, very lucky.
That's nice. Really nice. Yeah. And you're friendly with Lou too, still. Does he, you guys like hang out sometimes too, right?
We've done some stuff together on the road. We did some reunion shows and things like that, which have been great. And all of the original members have been great to all of us. And they're a great hang. And you know, we love to go out and have a drink together. And everybody was very easy to work with, and very easy to talk to. And you know, we talk to Ian and say, what guitar did you use on this part? And how did this, that, and the other thing? You know, delving back into things that you maybe can't get from listening to the even the soloed original 2-inch 24-track tape, you might not even know. So, and Lou was really giving to me. He was really open. If I made a suggestion, he's like, yeah, sure, let's do it. And so he was really great about that. It was really nice for me, because, you know, I do have a lot of respect for Lou, and he did do an amazing job with these songs, and I'm just carrying on that legacy, I hope.
What kind of music do you listen to? What were your influences, and what things do you like now?
Well, what were my influences were probably a lot of 50s, 60s R&B, soul, or people that were influenced by that, like, you know, some English singers or bands, things like that. But now I spend my time usually listening to like 50s combo jazz, or also again, old soul, R&B, gospel. Those are things that I listen to for enjoyment. But the difficult thing for me as a guy who's been in this business 40 plus years and has also been a producer, is that you have a hard time listening to music without analyzing it. And those things that I can listen to without analyzing them, I can just enjoy them. I'm not trying to learn a new technique or wonder how they got that sound. I'm just enjoying.
What do you do when you're not working? How do you relax?
I have a couple of motorcycles. I'm a motorcyclist. And I also, you know, I love doing stuff around the house, fixing and maintaining things. In fact, I'll tell you a little secret. Sometimes if I'm in a hotel room and something's broken or needs adjustment, sometimes I'll do it myself just because it makes me feel like I'm at home. And because when you're on the road for 8 months a year, you do little things that kind of help remind you of home. Like sometimes when I go to sleep in a hotel room, I'll close my eyes and I'll imagine that I'm in my own bedroom. And so that really helps get me to sleep, because I feel like I'm in a familiar place. And it's these little known things that you do to keep your sanity when you're away so long.
That's funny. And you got married recently?
I did, last May.
Congratulations. So
just had our first year anniversary.
Oh, that's great. Does your wife come on the road with you at all, or she planned to?
She has been to shows, and she probably will again this year. You can usually do it for short periods of time, but it's very difficult for someone who's not used to it to do it for a long period of time. She does that here and there, and in Europe a lot too. It's sometimes it's easier. So yeah.
Yeah. Some place good, right?
She wants to go.
And what else can we expect from Foreigner? Is there anything you guys want to do that you haven't done yet?
You know, there's always countries that we haven't been to. We went to China in 2019, which was great. I had never been there before, actually only to Hong Kong, but still consider China. But there's always more countries that we could go to. And I like that idea. And there's always different material and different stages of completion that we're always working on. We don't all live in the same place, so it's sometimes a little bit of a thing to make those arrangements, but we do what we can, and that'll have to be put on hold a little bit more now that we're going to, because we're really hitting the road real hard now. We have a very, very full schedule, partly because we want to make up some lost time, and partly because we understand that there still could be changes in the schedule, and things still could be up in the air some places. So far, everything is on and booked and going, and that's great. And we just want it to stay that way. But, you know, we have a lot of shows in place. So we're going to be pretty busy focusing on that.
Anything that you want to do?
You know, I don't know if you know this or not, but I do like to cook. I was on that Food Network show Chopped, and I won.
Oh, and, I didn't know that.
Yeah, and so I do like to cook. I have a lot of celebrity chef friends, and so I'm considering the possibility of some kind of cookbook or food experience book. So we'll see what comes of that.
Wow, how did that come to be?
Well, it hasn't come to be. It's something that I'm thinking about. Because
I mean, like your passion for cook, like how did you end up?
Oh, well, I think my fondness for cooking and food was kind of reawakened. I was doing some of it, you know, before I joined the band, but I think once getting on the road started to make me see that it's very difficult to get what you want food-wise on the road. You'll look at a menu and what you get in front of you doesn't look anything like what's on the pictured on the menu. Or you don't know where they source ingredients and you don't know how they're handling food. And it would be very frustrating for me because I have to eat in a very particular way on the road and at particular times and for vocal reasons and all that kind of thing. So when I would get home, I would be overjoyed to be able to buy my own ingredients and make something exactly the way I wanted so that I knew exactly what was in it. And it was prepared exactly the way I knew. At one time, I remember I was in a particular state, which I won't mention, but is my least favorite food state. And I was there for, I don't know, more than a week, I think. I came home, I dropped my bags, I got in the car, went straight to the grocery store and, you know, made pasta. And So that is kind of how it's slowly emerged. And then, you know, I met some chefs at an event that I did that was a cooking competition that I was involved in. And that was really fun. And, you know, and it just a balloon from there.
Wow. Did you always know how to cook, like since you were young?
No. I don't even know if I know how to cook now. I'm constantly learning, trying new techniques, learning new ingredients. That's a constant. And that's what's fun about it. And it's very comparable to music. Your pots and pans are your instruments. Your ingredients are like your lyrics and melody. And then you put them together and you get them to harmonize just like you do with music.
Did you always know you wanted to be in music when you were younger?
No, it just came at me quite by chance with someone I knew who had a band and asked me to come sing in the band. And then I very soon after that, I was the lead singer of the band. And it was at the time when I had been at a point in my life where I didn't know what I was going to do as an adult. You know, I didn't know what I wanted to do when I left high school. And I was never great in school, but this kind of came along and I said to myself, wow, I seem to have at least some natural ability for this and I enjoy doing it. And so I pursued it. And, you know, this many years later, it's great, but there was a lot of struggle. There was a lot of paying my dues. There was a lot of years and years of that. Cause it's so funny whenever they say someone's an overnight sensation, how it took 10 or 20 years to get there. It's hilarious to me.
And you're not a traditional rock star, bad boy. If you care about what you eat, you must take care of yourself. So that's interesting. You don't hear that often.
Well, I think that stereotype is maybe valid, maybe if you're in your 20s. But I'm doing something that's very difficult for the human body to do, which is sing high tenor songs well past my sell-by date. And so that means that I have to make sacrifices in order to continue to do that. And every year it gets a tiny bit harder. But that's what I do for a living. And I'm really grateful and fortunate to be able to do that. So to make those sacrifices is not that big of a deal to be able to do what I do.
It's fantastic. That's rare to hear. You know, not everybody does it. And well, physically too, you put on a good show too. It's not just your vocals, you know.
Well, I do my best. We all do, you know. Yeah. So.
Is there anything else you want to tell us that we didn't cover?
I just want everyone to come out and see a live rock show. Go to foreigneronline.com or foreignerlive.com. Check us out, check out the schedule, see if there's something that you might want to go to. Get out there, live life again, and you know, let's do these things in the way that we're supposed to, and protecting ourselves. But I think that there is definitely a way for us to get out and have a good time together, and we're raring to do it. So,
what's your favorite song to perform?
I'm not a favorites type of guy. I enjoy things individually for what they are. My standard answer to this question, which I get asked a lot, is that there's so many variables that make something enjoyable to sing. Is it a big audience, a small, is it outdoor at a festival, is it indoor at an intimate theater, is the mix sounding just perfect, is everyone, so one night the band might really groove on one song and the next night they might really groove on another song, and you know, it, how do I feel, you know, it's all those things change how you feel about a song, because there's so many great songs in the catalog. So I like to say, someday I'm in the mood for an apple, sometime I'm in the mood for an orange, but I'm just fortunate enough to have this beautiful basket of ripe fruit to choose from.
That's a good answer. Great answer. Kelly, thank you so much. Such
thank
a
you.
Pleasure to talk to you.
Thank you.
You're so lovely. Good luck with the tour and everything.
Thank you so much. Thanks
for
having me.
Look forward to seeing your cooking show as well.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Here. Bye.
Bye-bye.